Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Friday, TGIF, the 14th of April, 2023. Welcome into a Friday show along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommer. Mr. Zommer, a pleasant good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning, Todd. A pleasant good morning to you as well. Good morning.
So formal, aren't we? It's a beautiful day right now at the world headquarters here on University Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. Partly sunny this morning and looking for highs in the upper 70s. So looking forward to that. Don't forget, a burn ban is still in effect for the state of Wisconsin. So be aware of that. It's not for the entire state of Wisconsin, but every place pretty much that our show is going out, with the exception of maybe Amory. Every place else is under a burn ban or close to it. So want to be very careful. A couple of big fires, particularly near Fort McCoy and in Juneau County in Nisida as well. So just if you don't, just don't burn, period. Just wait a couple more days and don't burn outside. And keep everybody safe. Keep the firefighters of the state safe as well. Coming up today at 8:30, our friend, our colleague here on the Todd Albaugh Show, Mr. Brady Ewing, our sports guru extraordinaire. Three-time Big Ten champion with Badger football, former captain of the team, former NFL player for three seasons, will join us live from Richland Center. We are going to discuss a little bit of Badger football in the spring football season. No actual games, of course, but all the training, the scrimmages, that sort of thing. And already, new head coach Luke Fickle and offensive coordinator, I want to say Fongo. That's it. Not it. I'll have it in a second. Sorry. It's the COVID brain doing its thing this morning. They're naming already their first string quarterback, Mordecai, and also their second string. Now the race is for third string quarterback, Phil Longo. There you go. It just popped into my head. Had my letters transposed around.
Longo. Yeah, you just portmanteaued the name.
That's exactly what I did. Phil Longo, the offensive coordinator for the Wisconsin Badgers. So Brady will be talking about that, giving his two cents on kind of this competition for quarterback in the Badger locker room. Also talk a little bit of Brewers. I heard you and Pat talking this morning on Up North News. The Brewers got another win last night on the West Coast. Hard to stay up sometimes for those late night games. So be talking about that.
Oh yeah, I'm just not staying up for them. I don't think I've watched any of them.
It's hard. But and also talking turkey hunting, that is. And so Brady Ewing loves the turkey hunting season. A lot of people have either just gotten over or in the middle of or looking forward to their turkey season across the state of Wisconsin, spring turkey season. So we'll see if Brady gives us a couple of turkey hunting tips.
My dad sent me a text this morning. Two gobblers by our land, maybe three. 4 to 6 across in the big woods, 4 for sure.
Wow.
2 more across the road to the north where we goose hunt. So many choices on where to go. So it looks like it's a good day where we go turkey hunting.
It's a good day in the Zommer's land to do a little turkey hunting. We'll talk about that with Brady Ewing as well. That's coming up at 8:30, and invite you to join us then. Also, coming up today, we'll take your calls on what's happening across the news spectrum this morning and check in with Kara Foster at 8:30. And find out what's happening in terms of weather. Quick check of your forecast before we get into the details a little bit later. Fort Richland Center for today, mostly sunny. A high of 79 degrees. Once again, for tonight, partly cloudy. A low of 58. Then for tomorrow, Saturday, a chance of showers in the morning, but then increasing throughout the day. 76 for high. But certainly we could use the precipitation. Then for Saturday night, possibly a thunderstorm. A low of 45. And Sunday, rain, breezy, only a high of 52 degrees. So enjoy this little blast of summer-like weather. Not going to last beyond the weekend. Back down to more normal temperatures for next week. Up in Wausau, Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. A flood warning remains in effect for areas along the Wisconsin River and the backwaters of the Wausau area. Sunny skies today, a high of 81. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 55. Tomorrow, Saturday, partly sunny, then showers in the afternoon, a high of 77. Saturday night, Thunderstorms possible again, a low of 47. And Sunday, 90% chance of rain, only a high of 52 in Wausau. Then over in Amory, WLAK Lake Air Radio, sunny skies today, a high of 78 degrees. That'll melt some of that snow. Then for tonight, a chance of thunderstorms, a low of 48. Tomorrow's Saturday, a 80% chance of rain, a high of only 57 degrees tomorrow in Amory. Saturday night, a low of 33, a chance of rain. And then for Sunday, rain and snow. Breezy conditions on Sunday, only a high of 37 degrees. Accumulation's probably less than a half an inch, but still, here we are. 78 for Amory today, snow for Amory on Sunday. But don't worry, it's not gonna stick around, literally or figuratively. But we are Wisconsin, right? So it's that time of year, that transitional time, late March, early April here. Could be summer one day and then winter the next. Couple of news headlines for you on this Friday, the 14th of April, 2023. A 21-year-old Air Force guardsman is being held in connection with the leaking of classified Pentagon documents that were posted online, according to Attorney General Merrick Garland. The FBI said in a statement that it took the suspect into custody, quote, at a residence in North Dingen, Massachusetts, for his alleged involvement in leaking classified U.S. government and military documents. The leaked material posted to social media included detailed intelligence assessments of allies and adversaries alike, including the state of the war in Ukraine. Pick up on this story and more what you need to know on this Friday after this. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to What You Need to Know, news headlines on the Todd Allball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 8:15 on a Friday, coming up in about 15 minutes after checking the weather with Kara Foster around the state of Wisconsin. We'll be joined by Brady Ewing, live from Michelin Center, talking a little Badger spring football, also some turkey hunting, some Brewers. I keep thinking this is going to just resolve itself, but I guess we have to keep bringing up the A-Rod situation and the Green Bay Packers. The two sides have dug in their heels. Does Brady have any inside info on that? We'll see. We'll ask him.
It's just a big mess.
It is a big mess. So we'll get into that a little bit later. But first, kind of finishing up on some news headlines for you this morning. Picking up on this top news story this morning of the leaked documents. And this is quite a story, let me tell you. A 21-year-old Air Force guardsman being held in connection with the leaking of these classified Pentagon documents that were posted online. Again, the leaked material posted to social media included detailed intelligence assessments of allies and adversaries alike, including on the state of the war in Ukraine and challenges Kyiv and Moscow face as the conflict appears at a stalemate. Multiple U.S. sources told CNN that the suspect is believed to be the leader of an online group where a trove of classified documents have been posted. Did you see any of the footage of this last night, Mr. Zomers?
I did not.
So,
what time did this happen last night?
Well, I think it happened yesterday afternoon or so, yesterday afternoon. But by the way, not to go down to borrow the Dueling Tangents logo for a second. And by the way, Dueling Tangents, a fine program on this very network at 2 o'clock on most of the Civic Media radio networks with Luke Mathers and Brian Kelly. Dueling Tangents on WXCO of Bull Falls, another fine program, the Chad Holmes Show at 2 o'clock. But anyway, to go on a tangent for a second, I got my taxes done last night. I went to Monroe, beautiful night. This woman, let me tell you, Faith Block. I go to H&R Block in Monroe. And my tax preparer's name is Faith Block. I don't believe any relation. I mean, wouldn't that just be it? If you know, the original, you know, founder of H&R Block sent his granddaughter and said, you're not working in New York. We're going to send you to H&R Block out in Monroe, Wisconsin. And, you know, nothing wrong with that. Quite frankly, I'd rather be in Monroe, Wisconsin than New York City. But anyway,
New York City.
Yes, New York City. Anyway, Faith blocked my taxes last night. She defined the whole thing. I've had lab work in a hospital take longer to get back than my taxes last night. The whole thing was, I was in and out of there in 25 minutes.
Nice.
It was fantastic. So that is done. That is filed. Then I went over to my friends, Kurt and Flora, see in Monroe there. Had the first cookout of the fall. Had a couple of burgers, a couple of beverages, and then drove back to Madison last night. So it was a fun, anyway, but we, being people of a certain age, and God love them for it, and me as well, we, the three of us sat and watched the evening news, tape delayed, of course, on the DVR. So watching the CBS Evening News last night with Norah O'Donnell, and you saw, here's the thing about this guy in Massachusetts who allegedly leaked these documents. He's 21, he's in the Air Force Guard, and apparently his mother lives kind of in the country-ish. And so you had footage, and I'm not sure whether it was military footage or from the television stations around Boston. You had helicopter video footage looking down on this kid and his mother's house. And he's like on the back deck doing homework or doing something, reading or something. And moments later, a reporter pulls up and actually beats the Pentagon and the military officials there. And then the military officials come in with, you know, guns ablazing with shock and awe. And they arrest this kid, all captured on videotape. Well, not videotape anymore, but digital. And so you saw the whole thing unfold. And from what we're learning, apparently, what's being reported, evidence would seem to hold that this is the guy who did it. But again, 21-year-old Air Force Guardsman. How is this guy getting access to some of the top secret stuff of the United States military and intelligence?
Yeah, somebody's not doing their job.
Right? And so I mean, I don't know. I don't want to speculate too much, but that's a little bit of our job here. I have to believe that this goes deeper, that this kid is just kind of like the front guy. Somebody else has set this up to have him get access. And again, I don't want to pawn myself off as a military expert, but I spent almost 5 years working for U.S. Congressman Scott Klug. Doing military affairs was one of my main things. I spent time in the Pentagon. I spent time out on the Hill meeting with military officials. I spent time here working with military officials at Truax Field and in Madison, at Fort McCoy, at Volk Field, in Milwaukee, at the Air Refueling Wing. And let me just tell you, the level of security, the background, I mean, I flew on a C-130, an air refueling aircraft once. They had to get my social security number. They had to do a background check to fly, as well they should. And I was working for a United States congressman at the time. How is this 21-year-old dude in the Air Force Guard getting access to these high classified secrets? Apparently, it's being reported that he had access to fiber optics through the base or something. It just seems to me there's more to the story here. Multiple U.S. officials, now reading from the story, told CNN and others that they suspect, rather the suspect is believed to be the leader of an online group where this trove of classified documents have been found. So, we'll see. Apparently, what happened was this guy got some of these things, put it on, what's the platform we talked about yesterday?
On Discord.
Thank you. Put it on Discord. Explain to us millennials and boomers, Mr. Zomeris, if you'd be so very kind, what Discord is.
So, Discord is a messaging platform, kind of like Skype. If in Skype, I don't know if you can do this in Skype. I haven't used it in years. But if you can make like rooms in Skype, Basically you make a forum, you can add people to it, you can send links for people to join, but it's not like a wide platform. Like if I post something on Discord, that doesn't really mean anything. It's I post it on the Discord server that I have for playing games with people in Manitowoc. So then those people can see it. So it's not like blasting it up to all the internet like Twitter. It is to a small group.
Very good. You said wide platform, and the first thing that came to mind was the Larry Craig story from yesterday, the wide stance.
Very wide.
Very wide stance. But that's a great explanation. I appreciate it. So this platform that he put it on, he put some of these secrets, not really, but I mean like sentences or whatever, on there. And he also apparently tweeted them on Twitter. But he got ticked off because his friends in this, as you stated, like this group chat, this chat room, his buddies there, they didn't believe him. They said, you're making it up.
I wouldn't have either.
Right. So, and that apparently ticked him off even more. So he took photos of these documents and he started putting photos out there. Here's the way they got him, allegedly, is that they looked at, he had some of these documents apparently on his mom's kitchen counter, and he took a picture of it to upload it to either Discord or Twitter. The feds, here's how good they are. The intelligence and the feds, there was enough around the document. He didn't like edit it or whatever, crop it, the photo of the document. So they could see the kitchen counter and the floor of his mother's house around these documents. And that kitchen counter and floor matched what was in the photo. That's how they got, that's one of the ways they got him.
Wow, yeah, and maybe even like reflections in the kitchen counter or something. Yeah. You might be able to see a street sign, I don't know.
Hey, don't mess with military and national intelligence. I mean, I've said this before, I'll say it again, and not that I never had, you know, like top secret clearance or anything, but just from the little I was able to know, the movies like Jason Bourne, those are made for a reason. They're based on fact, all right? This is not all fiction that's created out there. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this leaker story unfolds here, because I don't know, maybe it was all this 21-year-old Air Force guardsman that just happened to get access somehow. If that's the case, we have some major work to do in security breaches within the Pentagon. My gut tells me there's other people involved, but we shall see. Florida now. Did you see this? Fort Lauderdale. These poor people down there experienced the rainiest day in its history on Wednesday, which officials are calling a 1-in-1,000-year rainfall event. The downpour prompted emergency rescues, forced drivers to abandon cars, close schools, and shut down the airport. Preliminary reports indicate the region recorded widespread rainfall totals of more than a foot. While Fort Lauderdale, get this, Fort Lauderdale tallied about 26 inches of rain in a 24-hour period, according to the National Weather Service. Hundreds of Floridians were housed in emergency shelters in Fort Lauderdale late last night as crews raced to clear clogged storm drains and impassable roads. More storms could strike South Florida today, with flood warnings remaining in effect through at least this morning. It just, the skies just opened up, and you look at all the technology now, you can see via radar and 3D imaging and everything exactly where the rain fell, and you put it in terms of like 3D, and it just spikes. There's like this dunce hat over Fort Lauderdale, and 2 feet of rain basically came down in Fort Lauderdale and in parts of kind of northern Miami.
I thought Wisconsin was humid.
Right? Nothing compared to Florida. I lived there for a short time.
I'm so sorry.
Anyway, well, it was not under Ron DeSantis. It was long ago and far away.
Oh, I'm sure it was fine. Yeah.
Sad news continues in Louisville. On the Louisville shooting, the family of the gunman who was killed after he fatally shot 5 people on Monday at the Old National Bank in Louisville, Kentucky, plans to have his brain tested for chronic traumatic encephalopathy. It's CTE. Did I say that right, Aaron? You know the medical terms better than I do.
I think it's encephalopathy, something like
that's
that.
It.
I might be incorrectly.
I think you're 100% right. Encephalopathy. Commonly known as CTE, according to his father. CTE, a neurodegenerative brain disease, can be found in people who have been exposed to repeated head trauma. The family thinks he had 3 significant concussions during his time playing sports in middle school and high school. The testing disclosure comes as police try to uncover a motive in the mass shooting, and as more families hold vigils honoring their loved ones who were killed. I think this story is incorrect. It says fatally shot 5 people. So 5 people were killed. I believe it was another 8 who were shot and 1 still in critical condition. And quickly, Florida, speaking of Florida, Mr. Zommers, are we surprised by this? No, not really. Governor Ron DeSantis has signed a bill that would ban most abortions in the state after 6 weeks. That's before most women know they're pregnant. The governor's office announced late yesterday the law would make Florida one of the most restrictive states in the country to obtain an abortion, and follows moves by other Republican-led states to curb procedures after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade last summer. Those are your news headlines for this hour. We're going to turn the page when we come back, talk a little weather, and also talk to Mr. Brady Ewing, three-time Big Ten champion, about Badger football, baseball, and what is turkey tips hunting? Hunting turkey tips by Brady. After this, this is the Tom Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Tom Allball Show. It is now 8:33 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Been talking this morning, continuing the burn ban in effect for the state of Wisconsin. At least most of the state. I believe the counties right along the northern border are not necessarily in the burn ban necessarily. But let's check in with a professional. We go now to our weatherology headquarters. And the one, the only, Kara Foster, rounding out our week on a Friday. A couple things we want to talk about this morning, Kara, besides the obvious forecast. Number one, these dry conditions and the burn ban going on right now. And then also, we've got our guest this hour, Brady Ewing, is a big turkey hunter. We're talking turkey hunting. What's the weather going to look like down in southwest Wisconsin for turkey hunting next week? That's really all that matters.
Right. That's where you're really getting
Exactly.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, a little all over the place, honestly. I mean, we've been so warm, obviously, the last few days. Today's going to be another one of those days, unfortunately, highs in the upper 70s, lower 80s. Fortunately, the winds have died down from the last few days. So, you know, some areas could see south winds 10 to 15, but that's kind of it. Fortunately, those winds will stay much calmer for those areas that are affected by the burns. I know I saw some of that this morning on the news. And then fortunately, we are going to have some relief this weekend. Cooler temperatures and some showers are coming through, but that does leave a little room for some snow, unfortunately. So, you know, nowhere else could really have 80s and snow in the same forecast within 2 days of each other, other than us. But here we are. So sunny 78 today in Amory, sunny and 81 in Wausau, and then sunny and 80 in Richland Center. As we head into tonight, you might see some showers throughout the central northern portion of the state, seeing some showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, dip down to 49 in Amory. We'll stay cloudier and no showers quite yet in Wausau, dip down to about 55. And then same thing, no showers quite yet in Richland Center, partly cloudy, 58 as our low. But as we head into Saturday, basically everyone will see some sort of shower, whether it's just a rain shower or some thunderstorms. It's going to be pretty scattered throughout the state, but pretty consistent. We're going to reach highs in the upper 50s, highs in the upper 50s and upper 70s. So it's still going to be warmer throughout the southern portion of the state. As we head into Saturday night, those showers will continue. Basically dipping down to the mid 40s, and that's kind of where we shift over. So Sunday is kind of going to be an interesting day. Some rain showers will start off, then we'll cool down. Highs in the upper 30s, mid 40s this time. North winds will come back in 15 to 25, gusting as high as 40, and we do have a chance for some snow. Now the models have been a little all over the place. One model has been crazy all week, and so I'm just kind of ignoring it because it does
same
not
thing
really
that,
make
same
any
thing
sense.
That Aaron does to me when I'm crazy. He just ignores it, so that's fine.
Right. Exactly. It's like not making any sense. I can't deal with you. But that's basically the GFS model is going crazy. The other models, like the European model, for example, could say that a couple areas could see up to a couple inches of kind of slushier snow. But thankfully, that's basically all we're going to see. The main thing is that it's going to be cooler and the winds are going to continue as we head into Sunday night and then into Monday morning. But temperatures will start to turn around immediately after this system moves through. So some sunshine should be expected on Monday after those showers are done. The winds will start to die down. Then Tuesday comes along. We'll be actually very normal throughout the state. See a lot of sunshine. Actually a near perfect day, I should say, on Tuesday. Then we'll have another round of showers on Wednesday, Thursday, and temperatures are still going to be normal. So for those burns out there, I'm hoping that, you know, these next couple of systems and cooler temperatures and even normal temperatures all throughout next week will help that. But we're still all over the place, so it's not quite calmed down yet.
I like that movie, that Academy Award-winning movie this year, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
That's
the weather.
It's crazy how I love that movie. It's a great movie, by the way, and it's exactly how this weather is.
Really? Okay,
just watched it the other week, and it's very good. Highly recommend. But it's talking through this weather definitely feels like how when you watch that movie. It's literally everything everywhere all at once.
And it looks like for Brady Ewing, our next guest, turkey hunting in Southwest Wisconsin Tuesday may be the best day.
Yeah, it will be really good. I mean, you might run into some scattered showers the rest of the week, but at least temperatures are going to stay pretty average for you. So it should be good at least.
All right, Kara Foster, thank you so much. Have a wonderful weekend. We will talk to you next week.
Thanks, you as well. I'll catch you then.
Yep, my pleasure. Thank you so much. Kara Foster from Weatherology, our weather forecaster and weather person extraordinaire. So there you go. We bring on our next guest, as per usual, every other Friday, live from the RC, the one, the only three-time Badger champion or Big Ten champion at Badger football. 3 years in the league, the NFL for Atlanta and Jacksonville, and all-around turkey hunter extraordinaire, the one, the only, Brady Ewing.
Yes. I'm excited to hear that weather forecast, but the only problem is turkey season, the first one opens up on Wednesday, so it looks may get a little bit wet. But
missed it by a day, Brady.
I know. That's all right. I've been out in first season or season A before in a snow blizzard with, you know, a foot of snow, so it could be a lot worse.
We'll get to turkey hunting in just a couple of minutes here, but I want to start off this week, if we could, with your old stomping grounds at Camp Randall and Badger football. It is spring football season, for those who don't know. Of course, no actual games other than practices and scrimmages internally. But give people a little sense, Brady. This is where a lot of the posturing for the fall takes place, right? I mean, guys kind of use this to put their mark out there, especially the newer guys. Like, hey, I'm here to play and kind of get lined up for the fall season.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's only heightened with a new coaching staff, you know, having guys come in and create that pecking order. You know, now they're working on a different offensive system, a different defensive system, new coaching staff. So no doubt in seeing some of the highlights, I haven't been over to practice yet personally, but seeing some of the highlights, looks like there's a lot of competition going around. They're playing fast, you know, and playing hard, learning the new system. So yeah, it's a huge developmental opportunity, much like, you know, getting to a bowl game. Not only is that a great reward for, you know, the players to get to experience something, travel somewhere and be a part of a bowl game, but that's a huge developmental period too, where you can give the younger guys some reps and just get some practices. There's a lot of rules and things around how much contact the coaches can have with you outside of the season. So anytime in spring ball or in bowl prep, you can get some more practices under your belt and some more reps. Pays dividends long-term for, you know, kids' development and continuing to learn the system.
What do you think, Brady, of, you know, in years past, whether it was here, coaches here at Wisconsin or other programs across the country, a lot of times coaches keep this kind of in their back pocket. They kind of keep, they're kind of cagey about it. Who's going to be the starting quarterback going into an unsure season? They want a lot of competition. They don't want the other teams or whatever to know. Wisconsin being pretty transparent. New offensive coach and quarterback coach Phil Longo already naming Mordecai, the transfer from SMU, as the number one quarterback, and Locke, that's kind of I want to call late transfer, but I think went under the radar a little bit, from Mississippi State, is number two. And now it appears the competition was left in spring ball is for Marshall Howell, Miles Burkett, and Nick Evers to be the number three spot. What do you think about this kind of already naming the one and two quarterback this early?
A little out of the norm, I would say, but I think given the situation of, you know, going out to the transfer portal and recruiting some of these guys, it was probably communicated and sold to them in such a fashion.
Right.
So, you know, I think the coaches, you know, if that is the case, again, this is all speculation on my part, but if that is the case on how they were able to get some of these transfers to come in, as far as, hey, you're locked to be our starter, you know, year one, you know, you're going to be our number two, and then, you know, other guys are going to have to battle out and sort out the pecking order. If that's what happened, then I think the way that this is played out is good, because it reaffirms, you know, that sales process per se, that quote unquote sales or recruiting process, where they committed to something to the kids and the young men, and they were able to reaffirm that, and they're staying true to their word. So again, that's all speculation on my part, but I'm assuming something similar is how that went down. So
my gut tells me you're pretty close to right.
Yeah, and looking at the history, though, it's like, you know, whether it's, you know, my experience in college, it was always, you know, wanted to be an open competition to help foster, you know, competition makes everybody rise their level of play and makes everybody better. So whether it's lip speak to a certain extent or there's some reality to it, I think having that good, healthy competition is always good.
To that point, and I don't say this to beat up on anybody before the current coaching staff, but I do think it seems to me, and you can tell me if you think I'm wrong, it seems to me there's a little bit of a different mindset or the way they're structuring things in Badger football right now with the new coaching staff, because I've heard interviews of players saying that the new coaching staff from Fickell on down is really putting this emphasis on player leadership. And I think that's always been the case, but it seems like there's extra amount of emphasis on player leadership. Like, we want, you know, these whatever it's going to be, 6, 7, 8, 10 leaders of this team to almost be, you know, not assistant coaches, but really take on a significant leadership role. And maybe, you know, the top 1 or 2 quarterbacks, maybe that's part of it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's always good. I think that was always apparent in my time at UW. Mm-hmm. And I think even in the NFL, I think the more you can have the players lead things and self, you know, quote unquote, self-police things and lead the team, not only at the facility, in practice, in the weight room, but also outside the facility when it comes to study table where, your academic side of things, going to class, you know, when guys are out on the town, whatever it may be, I think it's important to have, you know, self-leadership. Not only should you be holding yourself accountable, but oftentimes you need the collective to hold each other accountable to make sure you're heading the right direction, doing the right things to be successful on the field come Saturdays. And that's a year-round thing. So they say in parenting, it takes a village. And I would say that same principle holds true when you look at a football team of 100-plus guys. You know, the coaches and the strength coaches can only do so much,
right,
and the support staff. So you have to have that player-led leadership. So if they're really focusing on that, I think that's huge. What I was just a little bit of a sidetrack, but I saw a quote from Miles Paquette here this week, or maybe it was last week, about, you know, the competition and his thoughts on transferring. Mm. And I was super impressed with his comment, paraphrasing here, but basically said that, you know, he had no, thoughts to even transfer. And, you know, he was excited for the competition and to raise his level of experience and to continue to contribute to the team. And just love that mindset in a day and age where it's so easy to enter the transfer portal and look for the next best thing. But a guy that seems committed to not only this new coaching staff, but just the W and the Badgers. And as a former walk-on and a guy from the state myself, it was really cool to hear that. So
I think it's super cool because he's from Wisconsin as well, correct? He was.
He is. Yeah, I think he went to Franklin.
Yeah, something like that. Yep. So he's a Wisconsin guy. I agree. I think it's absolutely fantastic. I love it. I think it says a lot about him first and foremost. But I also think it says something about the new coaching staff that they created an environment where he wanted to stay too, and he felt welcomed, and he felt like he was going to get a fair shot. So I think
absolutely.
And speaking of quotes, Brady, it's a great segue. I followed Jeff Patricus, like I know a lot of folks do, from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the Badger sports reporter there. Really great quote from offensive coordinator and quarterback coach Phil Longo this week, talking about the QBs, but also brought up wide receiver Chimiri Dike when talking about learning. And he said this, quote, Chim Dike is a great example. You teach him something today and it shows up on the field tomorrow, and then you can coach him on to the next step. I just think that's great because it shows again to me some of these guys that were there, like Chimiri Dike, they're not slacking. I mean, you know, they're mature enough to say, hey, you know what? We realize this is a business. What's done is done, and we're going to give everything we can to this new program and like you said, to the W and the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, and that it doesn't shock me. You know, Coach Chris and, you know, that staff recruited some awesome, awesome talent and great people, you know, from what I've been exposed to them. So to see some of those key players, you know, stick it out through the transition and to lead by example, you talk about that leadership, you know, that is a coach's dream where you can coach them on something. They don't have a bad attitude. They're coachable. They take it, they implement it, they run with it. And like Coach said, it's on to the next thing, right? There's always things, whether you're the number one wide receiver at Wisconsin, number one receiver on an NFL team, there's always things you can work on for your craft and your game. And you know, having that mindset, not only I think will serve Chimray really well as a Badger and at the next level, but just in life in general. So that's the cool stuff. And when you see young men or, you know, student athletes put the full picture together like that, it's super exciting. So I'm happy to hear that. I didn't see that quote, but super happy to hear that.
Yeah, no, it's super. It's a lot really exciting. Welcome back. Great to have Brady viewing with us this morning, former Badger and turkey hunter extraordinaire. We'll come back and talk Brewers and turkey, or turkey and Brewers, whichever you prefer, after this on the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show. It is now 8:50 here on the time and temperature side. Welcome back here.
Turn the noise down.
Sorry, I didn't mean to talk about the music there, Aaron. Apologize.
No, all good. And I see you have a guest. If you want, you can have your guest hop over to the other microphone. Well, I have it turned on.
She hasn't got. She's a busy woman. But I want to bring on a little coffee with Alice. A quick segment of Coffee with Alice. Because here is our wonderful office manager, the marrow that holds this body of civic media together, Alice Schneiderman. Alice, we miss you because you're downtown now, and we're here at the old headquarters.
I miss you guys, too, although I'm really enjoying the new office space. It's really fun to be on State Street. I got to admit, like, I'm like, where am I going to get coffee today? Where am I going to get lunch today? Where do I want to watch you today? Like, where is everybody? Hurry up and get over there, you guys. I miss you.
I wish. I want to.
There's Alice saying, oh, I miss you terribly, but you know what? It is pretty good. That's pretty damn nice over here.
It is. I'm not gonna lie. Parking is a pain in the tuchus, but you know what? There's a lot of places to walk to and a lot more choices.
You're from Brooklyn originally. You ever go turkey hunting?
No, I've never been turkey hunting. No.
They don't turkey hunt in Brooklyn. We had a turkey. I'm not kidding you. We had a turkey cross the road here yesterday.
Hey, I live on the north side of Madison, and there's wild turkeys by my house all the time.
All right. Well, we're talking to Brady Ewing in Richland Center. He's an actual turkey hunter.
Okay.
All right.
Be careful.
Go get them turkeys.
You allow land permission to come hunt them or what?
I saw a guy almost take one out with a car down here, Brady. All right, Alice, we appreciate you stopping in. Our day is better now.
Oh, you're welcome. Always appreciate you guys. Thank you.
A little coffee with Alice Schneiderman there, office manager. Thank you, Alice, for stopping by. We are talking with Brady Ewing from Richland Center, three-time Big Ten champion for the Wisconsin Badgers, and 3 years in the league, as they say, in the NFL. Brady, before we move to turkey hunting and the Brewers quickly, one more quote. And for those who don't know, there is a sign that is just above the entry to go onto the field, the player that's right above the player see and touch. There's all kinds of traditions. It used to say the road to the Rose Bowl begins here when Barry Alvarez was coach. And that was changed to the road to championship starts here. Did that change take place during your time or after?
It was after my time at UW, but I believe it was right around the time I was coaching there.
Okay.
I don't remember exactly, but there was a lot of conversation of, you know, as the, you know, playoff implementation and just transition in college football continued to happen. You know, the coaching staff, Coach Chris and others were very intentional about, you know, how they wanted that portrayed. And I actually hear that now even with, you know, Coach Fickle and others on staff. But it's, you know, all about the Big Ten championship. It's all about, you know, getting to the college, you know, the national championship. And the Rose Bowl is still, you know, a creme de la creme. Per se, as a Wisconsin fan and as a Wisconsin player, I think, but there's, you know, bigger opportunities out there too. So I think it's really cool to see. Yeah, there's a lot of traditions as you're walking from, you know, where the locker room is and the old locker room used to be of touching the red horseshoe and, you know, touching the play for championship sign. And it's cool to see that, you know, slight transition and that focus and emphasis and those goals. Evolved through the years.
I bring it up because one more quote here before we move on again from Jeff Patricus from this week at Badger spring football practice. New number one Badger QB Tanner Mordecai was peppered with questions this week. And one example when he was asked, where do you want to help take the program? And Mordecai responded, quote, championship status. That's it. Win championships. So Patricus followed up, but he said, Big Ten championships or beyond? And Mordecai responded and said, I firmly believe Coach Fickell is going to win a national championship here. The follow-up. Mm. So you have 1 year of eligibility left to do it. Mordecai says, that's right. I mean, that's a pretty, I mean, those are some onions right there. I mean, he's putting it out there.
Yeah, I got goosebumps, actually. And that's just like Jeff to continue to ask the next question, you know, which is right. Cool. But no, I love hearing that. And I think that mindset has always been there, but it maybe not so much at the forefront. We were always very, you know, I guess, intentional about, you know, keeping some of those goals internal. But I think it's cool to vocalize that. Not only yeah. is that holding you accountable to that goal, but the process it takes to work towards that goal. And that's an everyday thing, whether it's winter conditioning, whether it's spring ball, whether it's fall camp, or during the games on Saturday.
Let me ask you this, Brady. And Aaron Zomers and I have talked about this on other issues that we won't get into right now, but on the political side, there's been some attacking of Gen Z over the last election in this state and whatnot, and there seems to be kind of this dismissiveness of young people and Generation Z, those 18 to 29-year-olds. And I told Aaron, mm-hmm. you know, owning a coffee shop and working with, you know, younger people and Gen Z, I think there's just this new attitude, this new generation of, hey, don't talk down to us. Treat us like equals. And, you know, for guys my age and, you know, a little bit younger, but I think there's always been this sense of, hey, you earn your stripes, you come up through the ranks. Mm-hmm. But it seems like whether we like it or not, that's the Gen Z mindset. Do you think this is a little bit of kind of Coach Fickell and others saying, you know, we have to adapt to how Gen Z thinks today, and we have to kind of lay it out there. We can't be so coy about stuff anymore.
Probably, you know, I haven't never thought of it that way, but I think there's something to that. You know, every person, every generation is wired a little different. And I think mm-hmm. you look at the way things have progressed, you know, things have traditionally always gotten better, whether, you know, we want to pick on the next generation or not. We're all wired a little different. We're all motivated a little different. And being able to, we've talked about it in the past too, not only understand each player and what mm-hmm. motivates them, mm-hmm. you know, I think of myself specifically, I can be coached hard, but I don't necessarily thrive in that environment like I do in more of an encouragement type coaching situation, just because I put more stress on myself to produce and to hold myself to a high standard than anybody else could. So, you know, I do better with, you know, a supportive coach. And so as a coach, being able to understand each of your players is important, but also understand the culture of the team. And I'm sure a lot of that is translated and kind of flows with the generational thing as well. Look at recruiting and how that's evolved with the social media aspect and, you know, the pictures, the videos, mm-hmm. you know, the way that they recruit now, that continues to evolve too. So there's a lot to that.
There's
understanding
a lot of
who you're recruiting.
A lot of Hollywood out there. All right. Our time has run out as always. So this is going to be a speed round here very quickly. Aaron Rodgers, are the Jets going to get a number one draft pick from Green Bay or not?
I don't know if this deal's ever going to get done, Todd. Honestly.
I think that Rodgers is going to be a $59 million backup.
Yeah, who knows, man? I don't see why he would retire now with
right?
that in store. But it's I don't know if they'll get a number one draft pick. I think they probably want to understand how long Aaron wants to play.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. You know, you look at the Badgers and how they brought in Mordecai for 1 year.
Right.
To help with the transition, is that, you know, a similar situation they want to do with Aaron Rodgers, or is he going to stick it out another 2-3 years?
All right, Brady. Unfortunately, we've run out of time for Brady's top turkey hunting tips. We'll have to ask you after your turkey hunt next week. But have a great week, my friend. Thanks for coming on. Good luck out there in the woods. Yeah. Be safe, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Thanks. Yep.
My pleasure. Brady Ewing from Richland Center. Back with more after this in hour number 2. This is the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.